Your Central Minnesota Farm Report here on Chasm Radio. I'm Farm Director Joe Gill. Your report brought to you by Midsoda Trailer Sales and Service, right off I-94 in Avon. Well, what goes on in St. Paul has a domino effect on agriculture and, well, all of Minnesotans. We get an update from State Representative Lisa Damuth, who also serves as the leader on the Republican side of the aisle in the House, giving us details Friday and what's really going on.
So I was thinking in our opportunities throughout the session, hopefully I'll be able to visit with you and your listeners on a more regular basis. But maybe it's going to have to be a to be continued because there's so many parts to this. But I'll give you kind of a quick overview. So on election night, it came in that the House was going to be tied. That means 67 Republicans and 67 Democrats. If you fast forward, well, and then what I did is, knowing that we had a tie for the second time in Minnesota history, it looked like we were going to need some type of a power sharing agreement. So I was chosen by my caucus to be the leader once again, as I've served for the last 2 years as our caucus leader. Same thing for former Speaker Melissa Hortman. We met on a number of occasions looking at some type of a power sharing agreement. And I have to tell you, Joe, that those talks, and that was going well. We decided on the committees, on putting in the idea of co-chairs, and really trying to do things in a way that would get the work done for the state of Minnesota. Because from day one, we know there's a lot of work that has to get done in a short period of time, a five-month period of time. You fast forward to a few weeks later, and it came to the light and then brought to the court, and the court decided that the Democrat who had won in Roseville had lied on his affidavit of candidacy and never lived in the district. By law, as House representatives, we have to live in the district that we represent. That only makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he was found by the courts to have lied and cheated. He could not take the oath of office, and it was determined that he could not become a member of the House of Representatives for that district. So a special election would need to be called. We knew the special election wasn't going to be until March. The governor did try to call it early. He wanted it to happen on the 28th of January, but that was against statute, against the law, and the Supreme Court decided, Governor, you prematurely called that. That special election can't even be called till February 5th for a time later in March. What that did, Joe, is that did not, we were no longer going to be at a tie for an unknown period of time. That means there were still 67 Republicans, but because of that vacancy, only 66 Democrats. With that being said, there was no need for a power sharing because if there is not a tie, there's a one seat majority by or advantage by a singular party. So no power sharing was needed. We went ahead forward then. We were going to be sworn into office on January 14th. Which is the day that's called for at noon in the seat of government, sworn into office to start the work that all of our constituents expect us to do. That was a problem for the Democrats. They still wanted power sharing, even though they were down a member for an unknown period of time. And they said that they would not come to work unless they could have equal power. Are you following along with this long story, Joe?
We are. It's like story time, and we're just following on as you flip the pages. So, it brings us to this point here where, you know, we have an election that can take place till March, A party that wants to have power sharing, even though there's no tie anymore. But I think your next chapter you're going to go into is the court now says you need a certain number to have a quorum, and we don't have that number.
Yep. So the one other thing that was really key, and I would have continued discussions with Melissa Hortman, you know, moving forward, like if it returned to a tie, because we didn't know that vacant seat in Roseville belongs to the voters until they make a decision on the election, who they want to send. And if they already had one person that was trying to cheat the system, they obviously need a new candidate, and it could go either way. It could go Republican or Democrat. Nobody knows yet. But because the Democrats couldn't get the full power sharing, even though they were one seat short, they chose on their own to do a super secret swearing-in ceremony 2 days before we were called by law to come in. So on Sunday the 12th, they held a swearing-in for just the 66 Democrats in an area in St. Paul, not at the Capitol. There was no media. We only found out because a media person became aware of it after the fact. So not only did they threaten to not show up the first day of session, they decided to be sworn in so they could still collect their paychecks from the taxpayers, even though they weren't going to come to work.
So Lisa, is that legal?
Well, our you know, taxpayers pay for all of our salary. It's about $52,000 as our salary as members of the House of Representatives, not including benefits if people take health insurance and the other benefits. So legal, yes. Moral and right? Absolutely not. Taxpayers all over the state have contacted me saying they are on day 18 right now of not showing up for work because they have not been to work. Why are we still paying for them?
So even the swearing in, too, referring to that, is that out of bounds, too, or no?
It should be out of bounds. It has never been done in the history of Minnesota. The way that they're getting by with it is there has been an occasional situation, maybe an illness or a hospitalization, where a new member can't take the oath of office on the day as prescribed. But never in the history of Minnesota has an entire caucus, an entire group of 66 people said, we don't like the fact that we're down by one member, so we are not going to show up. First time in history. Absolutely unprofessional and wrong, in my opinion. But what happened then is that we came in, and because there is only 133 members that were eligible to even take the oath of office, where the certificate of candidacy was even in, certificate of election was even in with the chief clerk, 133. When you figure a quorum of that, that is 67. So we went ahead, even though none of our Democrat colleagues were there at all, we went ahead and organized. I was voted in as Speaker of the House. We organized the committees, and we worked that way for 2 full weeks, doing the work, committee hearings, you know, things that matter to Minnesotans about lowering taxes, stopping fraud, making sure that our educational system is providing the education with high standards for our students, looking at the infrastructure needs across the state. So we were already doing the work. Well, Secretary of State Steve Simon and then former Speaker, but Representative Hortman and 2 other Democrat representatives sued me and sued 2 other people in our caucus, saying that we couldn't hold session or do those things because we didn't have a quorum of what is normally 68. We did lose that case a week ago in the Supreme Court. Basically, the Supreme Court, though, said, you know, a quorum is 68, so the full membership, even though there's an empty seat that cannot be filled right now, they made that determination, and that really put a stop to the work for the people of Minnesota, and it ended all of the work that we had already started to do.
State Representative Lisa Damuth joining us on CASM Radio. You can listen to our full interview. You can follow CASM on Facebook and click on the link, or simply go to mychasm.com. Your Central Minnesota Farm Report for a Saturday morning. I'm CASM Radio Farm Director Joel Gill. Your report brought to you by Midsoda Trailer Sales and Service, right off I-94 in Avon. Have a good weekend.